For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, December the 31st, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Watch Night Service, final service of the camp meeting.
The chimes of time, the news, another day through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have known. For added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I bring hope to you. There is no secret what God can do. I stand for others. He'll do for you.
Yes, most of you know that Stuart Hamlin wrote that song.
Yes.
And that is really a song of his life. Mm-hmm. The story of his life is in there. He was the son of a wonderful Baptist minister, and he wanted nothing to do with God, and he came to Hollywood and started a cowboy, what he called a cowboy. But what it was a place where he acted with satire, is that the way you say it? Satire, things about God. And they had a whole Sunday afternoon on the Warner Brothers station called the Cowboy Church of the Air. And when Billy Graham came to California and had the wonderful, wonderful big tent meeting downtown Los Angeles, Stuart Hamlin came one night and really got saved. And when he went back and began to... With his program, you know, he began to change it so that it was reality instead of the making fun of the things of the Lord. And he testified on the air how he had who he was and what had happened and how he didn't want none of this God stuff. And then the Lord began to give him these songs. And this one here is really, as you look at it, no, Stuart, it's a song of his life. And... he was the advertiser for a big Chevrolet dealer there in Los Angeles. And as he began to change his program to reality instead of making fun, they didn't want him anymore. So they terminated his contract. He also was on TV now. He was having TV program too, also. And they terminated his contract. But the Lord gave him all these songs to write, and he became had more to do afterwards than he did before. But the very last program that he had, why, Irma and I had the privilege to throw a big party for him. And we went to the studio and baked a great big cake. We were in the bakery business then, and we baked a great big cake, like a wedding cake, and several sheet cakes, and we had several hundred people came to the final service, and we had the privilege of having a party, a goodbye party for Stuart Hamlin on his last program. So when we sing that song, you know, all these things, you know, come back. And I love that song. It tells a life of somebody running from God and then God getting a hold of them. See, what does it say? The last two lines of it, put it back up there.
Just take another
promise. It says, oh, he'll pardon you.
Uh-huh.
He'll pardon you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you.
Yes.
And it's no secret what he can do.
Yes.
Because really, that's what happened to Stuart.
Well, it is no secret.
It's a pleasure to see such a family serving the Lord all together. Now, these three young men here have helped raise these other four. I believe in giving honor where honor is due. When we go out there, I tell you, we've never seen such dedicated brothers to the little brothers and sisters. Me and Peggy come back and be always amazed to see how these three take care of those four. It's been wonderful to see the relationship that the Cloughs have with their children. And Aaron's going to come. Aaron is the oldest. And he's going to come and give a testimony. These boys went through high school, and some are still in high school, two of them in college. And Aaron's going to come. He's the oldest. And give a word for the Lord, because I know that he has a word for the Lord tonight, because I know he loves God down in his heart. And I tell you, God is seeking out those that love him with a whole heart. Anybody can love him with a half heart, but I want to love him with a whole heart because of what he did for me and what he did for you. So come on, Aaron. And we're not going to put him on the spot because we've already told him what's going to happen here tonight. Hallelujah.
5 minutes ago. Well, it's just great to be back here. I've been coming to the camp since I was about second or third grade, I imagine. When we first started coming, it's just, well, when you're second grade, it's just nuts around here. And you see people crying and laughing and hollering and dancing, and just never seen that before, and just scared as heck. And I was ready to go home. But as I've grown older, I've come to want to come here, and it's just like my second home. I mean, we lived down here for a year and a half, and it just seemed like so much longer than that. And it's just, I just love this place. I mean, I know I'm one of the younger people here, but I still like coming. And I still love Glenn and Irma, and he's my second grandpa, and Irma's my second grandma. And it's just, there's no other place like it, and I just bless them and thank them for keeping this going for all of us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Right now, I'm going to a community college in Columbus, Nebraska. I had scholarship on to go there, and they didn't have to pay anything. And then Dad got fired, and they had to move away. And I had kind of got stuck still going there. And I had worked in the summertime at a packing house to try to help my, you know, at least carry my own weight. And met a guy there, an older gentleman, and I told him what had happened. And he offered to have a basement apartment and said I could just use it until I'm done with my schooling. And I thank God for that. just not every day you find somebody, you know, you just meet them while working and something like that happens. So I thank God for that.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell them your name and where you go to school. A scholarship.
My name is Josh, and I'm a freshman this year at the University of Richmond in Virginia. And it was the farthest place I could get away from home, so that's why I went there. I'm just kidding. But I wanted to see a different part of the country, and it seemed like a good place to go. It isn't a cheap school, but thank the Lord I got some grant money to allow me to go there. And I don't know, as I look back, when I was just a little bit, I'm just a year and a half younger than Aaron, and I remember, seems like just yesterday, we were up here. I had my beautiful suit on when I was about 7 years old. It was brown, but I thought it was the greatest thing because it, you know, I could sit up here and I'd be like Glenn and I was singing, and it was a lot of fun. And I still remember Mary's stories every Sunday, and I don't know, it's just, it does seem like home, like Aaron said. And I don't know, I've been to several other churches, but there's just nothing that compares to this. And as I just finished the first semester of college, and I thank the Lord every day that He's put me there, because without Him, I don't think I'd be any better off than any of my other friends there that party every night and get drunk and never attend to their studies or anything. But I know He's put me there for a purpose, so I thank Him for it.
Now, these boys also excel in athletics, too. They're basketball players and football players and baseball players. Now, we're going to have the baseball player coming up here. His name is Dan. So come on, Dan.
Daniel. Might have to lower this thing for me. I'm kind of short.
But that's like you're not as tall as your other two brothers. You're getting there, brother. You're growing.
Well, what I remember from here, starting out, I'm about, what, 3 or 4 years younger than Josh and Aaron. I don't remember as early as they do, but I remember moving over here, and I remember when we used to have Sunday school, and we'd have those, we would memorize the books of the Bible, and Glenn gave us a Bible, all of us, and I still don't know how I memorized all those. I look back at it, it would take me some time to do it now. I remember Tom and Mary and the skits they used to do. Mary would always try to get Tom to do something for him. Now, I'm in high school. We just moved over to Trainer, and I'm trying to adjust to the people. The people are nice, and it's pretty easy. The basketball team, I'm starting to get some playing time on there. And we're doing okay. We just played a number three, number four ranked team. We lost by two. We weren't supposed to come close, so we did good in there. And when Dad got fired, it was, I come home and Dad got some bad news. You know, At first I thought Mom was pregnant again, because that's when everybody was sitting in the living room, and that's usually the way, you know, it's happened two or three times. I was about to ask if she was pregnant again, and Dad said he got fired, so it kind of threw me off a little bit, but it's definitely been good for us. I know Sarah and Mike, they'll benefit from growing up in a better community than Skyler was.
It's wonderful.
Right now, just a few weeks ago, we expanded the business salad dressing. 11 more stores in Des Moines, Iowa.
Praise the Lord. Now, this young man, how many baseball cards you got?
He's the baseball card collector.
Yeah, but he's also something else to collect. I'm going to give him that one. Don't you have baseball clubs?
I've got baseball cards.
Yeah, not as many as your brother.
He's more the collector than
me. I want to tell you about this young man right here. He's also a trash collector. He goes to every flea market. He goes where the treasures are at. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, and he's after all the treasures he can get. Right, Jim and Connie? Come on up here, Jim, you and Connie now.
Come on. You know, we've loved over the years, loved to love these people for their dedications that they have for the Lord. When you lose a job because you don't stand for what's going on around you and you want truth to come forth and get fired, see, that's what happens. That's what's going to happen to the Christians. When you stand up for God, people are going to come against you and persecute you. They're already doing it, but they're going to do it in a greater measure in this time that we're living in. Come on, Jim. Here's Jim and Lily. And
Becky.
No, that's Becky. That's Becky. Okay.
So. You're Bill.
And you're Bill.
Go ahead.
Singing Bill.
Go ahead,
Bill. Well, this is, you know, it's just always great to come to Lake Hamilton and be with our family. And there's a special kinship among God's people. And it's just something that is priceless. And, you know, what's most important is that we fear the Lord and obey the Lord.
Yes.
And I knew before I got fired I was going to get fired. And I had already worked through it.
Yes, hallelujah.
And we came to Lake Hamilton for camp and went back home. And the next morning it happened, and I knew it was going to happen. And I looked the guy in the eye. They wanted me to do something that was illegal, and I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he said, you better think about this. I said, no, I don't need to. It's wrong. I won't do it. And
hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
But you know the
hallelujah
precious thing about the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Is we can count on Him. And I work for a, you know, a multi-million dollar hospital corporation. But there's more security in the Lord than any amount of money they can stockpile.
Yes.
And I would rather be where I am right now, having to trust the Lord, than have to depend upon their money and to do things that are wrong.
Hallelujah.
And I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. He's provided us with a house.
Hallelujah.
I've got several different opportunities that I'm working on. We're just waiting and let the Lord open the doors for us. And what I'm hearing in my spirit from the Lord is abundance. Not to make decisions out of fear, not to worry about tomorrow, but just to expect the abundance of the Lord. And, you know, we need to, there's a scripture, I think it's the 86th or 87th Psalm, but it says, it's said about this one or that one that they were born in Zion. And, you know, that's what I want. Because that is the center of God's authority and dominion and His power. And the kingdom is in Zion. And we as believers can't compromise. And Connie and I have talked about it, you know. In every believer's life, we're going to be in situations we have to make decisions. And it's sooner or later. We're going to learn to trust the Lord. It's either going to be now or it's going to be later. And it might as well be now.
Yes.
And I heard a brother on a tape a couple of months back said, you know, he was talking about Romans 8 and the revealing of God's sons that He has matured and processed to free mankind and be deliverers. And he said, you know, somebody has to make it, and it might as well be us.
Thank you.
So, might as well be us.
Amen.
It is.
So stay up here. Come on, Connie. This is where it all happens, right here. Isn't she precious? Oh, my. And what the boy said is true. Every time we got in a situation in the living room, they wanted to know. That's all right, darling. But anyhow, we love them. So you tell them your love.
No,
I tell you, she's really a dedicated mother. And she's a mother. I mean, a genuine mother. 100%.
I really don't know what I could add that James didn't say, but, and the children said so well, that, But, you know, like my husband said, it, you know, you look back on your life and whether you've lived a long time or a short time. And James and I have often said to each other, I guess maybe we're nuts and the whole world is normal, or the whole world is normal and we're nuts. But you look back, and all the bridges have been burned. And everybody, you know, our families have said, well, Connie and James are just a little strange. And a little different. And we had a friend of ours that used to talk about God's peculiar people. And that you really didn't have to try to be weird or strange. Because if you follow the Lord, people would look at you and they just wouldn't understand some things, you know. And I've come to, we came to a place where when we left, where he was fired, no one knew what happened, and the Lord did not allow us a stage to explain to anybody. And it's hard when you can't vindicate yourself, but Jesus didn't vindicate himself either, you know?
That's right.
I told James, well, if Jesus could walk with no reputation, I guess we can too. What does it matter what men think?
The Lord, come on, amen.
I care how God
changes. Michael, when Lily come up, George, Brother Gene Moody, we're going to pray for this couple. Come on, doing that. No, this is Lily.
This is Lily.
Come on. Oh, it's Sarah. Sarah, come on, honey.
What's
that?
Let me just say this, and I don't need a microphone. She said, what was that about nuts?
Well, you know, you don't have to try and be different because God makes sure you.
And people will think you're nuts. Well, every great oak was once a little nut. So just hold your ground. That's for all of us. And be a great oak for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Everybody stand up. While they pray for it, you can pray back there. Stretch your arms, hold us. Hallelujah. Come on, boys. We got Lily. Hallelujah, Lord.
We got Jim and Connie and all the family up before you. We thank you for your blessings.
Yes, Lord God. Yes, Father.
We thank you for your provision.
Yes, Lord.
Most of all, Father, we thank you that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for a testimony that can't be gainsaid. That Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. That the light shines bright, Father, wherever they go. Through each one of the young people, Father, let the light shine bright. And that men and women and boys and girls in school and at home or on the job will know that they've been with somebody who knows who Jesus is. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you now for your anointing over them, your blessing. Help the boys at school, Lord. Help them to have the best grades and to be the best there is.
Yes, Lord.
Father, that their light will shine bright. We thank you for it. And for Michael and Sarah and those in the middle school. Father, we thank you for them to be a testimony of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you now, Lord, that as they go, that they'll go rejoicing in thee. We bless them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank you, my God, for the truth of your word. Lord, your word says the blessings of the Lord make it rich and he added no sorrow. Lord, your word says when a man's ways please the Lord that you make even our enemies to be at peace with us. And Lord, we just thank you now that the blessings of God are just coming upon this family.
Yes.
That abundance is going to increase and increase and increase. Because Lord, I sense in my spirit that here is a family that trusts you.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, you said if we would trust in you, that if we delight in you, that if we commit our way unto you, God, that you'd give us the desire of our heart.
Yes.
Lord, I just thank you and praise you. I thank you, O God. Such a blessing for me, Lord, just to hear this testimony.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, glory to God. Lord, we ask that you keep a host of ministering angels encamped around this family. Lord, protect every one of them. And Lord, especially these boys as they are in school, God. Lord, just help them to be surrounded by the power of God, the truth of your word. Lord, that all of that stuff there in the schools will not have any effect on them whatsoever. But on the contrary,
amen.
God, they'll have an effect on the others.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Lord,
we thank you that their light will shine brighter and brighter. And Lord, we'll see the manifestation of the power of God through this family. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Father, I just thank you for my brother and sister and their family. I thank you, Lord, that Early and I have known them for years. We have seen their testimony. We have talked with them, Father. And, Lord, they just have such a wonderful family, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that they're a light unto the world, Father. And, Lord, I know that you're going to cause them to shine bright, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you for their love for children and all these wonderful children that you've raised, Father, and are raising, Lord. And I thank you for the examples that they are, that they're fine young Christian people, Father. Lord, I thank you most of all for this stand that they have taken. And, Lord, I know that you're going to reward them for this stand, Lord. And, Lord, you'll reward them in the here and now, and you'll reward them in the here and after, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you. It just blesses me to see Christians who stand up for their Christianity, Father. And, Lord, we just pray that you have blessed them richly with all spiritual blessings and bring them into all truth, Father. And we just thank you, Lord. Just bless them, Lord. Just bless them and bless them and bless them, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Also, we're going to plug his salad dressing.
The boys have a company, a salad dressing company. What do you call it?
J.C.'s.
Jason.
Jesus
Christ. J.C.
Jim Club. James Club. Okay, it also means Jesus Christ. Oh.
Mm-hmm. You're not in the South yet, are you? You're not further than
No,
Nebraska.
We're just in Nebraska and Iowa right now.
Whenever you see it advertised, J.C., Jesus Christ, or Jim Club. Salad, and it's wonderful. Yes? Yes, the pasta salad had the dressing on it. Wasn't it good?
Yeah.
Let's give this family a nice hand.
I'd like to add something. You know that when we were in college at ORU, I was so excited about the Lord there that I would read the Bible and pray a lot of times instead of study. And the Lord just opened the Old Testament up to me. And there's a scripture in Deuteronomy that says that we would live in cities that we didn't build. And we would eat from trees we didn't plant and drink from wells we didn't live. And it was about a month after that that I had that quickened in my spirit that we moved into a house with an orthopedic surgeon and his wife that was a four-story mansion in Tulsa. And in 4 years in college, we paid 5 months' rent. And, you know, I look back and here we are again. And we live in a house now that's bigger than any house we've been in. And the Lord just gave us this house. Right after I got fired, we were looking at some communities at Western Iowa because their economic development program is better in Nebraska. And with the business, there's a chance we can get some grant monies. And this banker showed me a real estate flyer on this house that was $175,000. And I just said, you know, that's totally out of my league. And said, you know, we can't afford that. Well, we couldn't find housing and getting ready to start school, and we had to get moved. And Trainer, Iowa, was a community we wanted in because they had a very, very good school system. And I saw this ad that house for lease with option to buy near Trainer, Iowa. Called about it. It was the very house that the banker had showed me the flyer on, and it was for lease. And we went over there and looked at it, you know, and it was big and spacious. This thing's probably got close to 4,000 square foot with a basement and the living area. The people that built it had an antique business. They had an 800 square foot room that was a showroom, and now it's a preschool, and then that's got full basement under it too. And I just felt in my spirit, this is our house. And I told Connie that. I said, this is our house. Couldn't afford it. I didn't know how he was going to pay for the rent on it. And I offered to give the realtor a deposit on it. And no, he said, I've got 20 or 30 other people that are going to look at it. So we went back. He called a couple days later and said, you know, I'm not into the going around and just naming and claiming everything that you think you want. But in this situation, we felt we had the word of the Lord, and we just said, we claim that house. And the realtor called back and said, we want you to be in it. And it was with an option to buy. And he said, but I need an offer from you on what the option price that you'd be willing to pay at the end of the
option time. And the guy's name was Maury, and I said, but Maury, you didn't tell me that when I was there. And I said, if you would have, I would have looked at the place a lot closer because I can't make an offer. So I went back over, looked at it. It needs quite a bit of work. And I shot him a price that I felt would have been fair, and he was totally insulted. And I told Connie, I said, there's something really fishy on this whole thing. Well, come to find out, this realtor had made a loan to the lady that owned the house on her equity, and he thought it was worth a lot more than what the market was. And when I started talking to people in the community that knew about it, they sort of chuckled, you know, that thing's been on the market forever, and it's next to a fixer-upper. So when I shot him the price, he said, well, I just can't do that. He said, I'd lose too much money on it. He said, I got somebody else that I think will take it. Well, 2 days later, he called back again and said, you know, would you just like to rent the place and move in? And I said, yes, we would. And, you know, that's just the way the Lord provides. And he has just made arrangements there for us. The banker in town was friends with one of the executives in Dahl's grocery store chains in Des Moines. We got into 11 stores in Des Moines without them ever seeing our product. We sent him an introduction letter, sat down with the guy, and he said, well, we're going to put it in our stores. How much are we going to need? He hadn't even seen it. And also the banker there is Governor Branstad's friend and is the chairman of the Iowa State Banking Commission. And on our grant application, he said, say, you know, the guys that handle these and make the decision are just a couple doors down from my office at the Capitol. Would you like me to hand deliver that for you? So, you know, it's just the Lord is just watching over it. Now, whether I get the grant or not, I don't know. But when God looks after you, you don't have to worry about it. Amen. If you don't get it, there's something better. So it's just, you know, it's exciting because I asked the Lord when this started. I said, Lord, you're going to have to give me a gift of faith to get through this because on my own, I can't make it. And he has. You know, people think I'm nuts. But I really don't care. And, you know, the ironic thing about it, the guy that sent me hiking in July got sent hiking 2 weeks ago. So, you know, and I didn't wish him any will, but the Lord takes after his own. He looks after him. So, just thank you for your prayers and encouragement and your love.
Amen.
It's just precious. Thank you.
The Lord says that as you learn more and more to give thanks to Him in every situation, that He would open the doors of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you can't contain. Super abundance. And He wants you to see that and believe that. Not the situation or the circumstances,
right,
but simply believe what He says to you. And the prosperity is yours. It's yours. And it will continue to grow and grow. And as you plant seeds of faith and believe in what God says in His Word, then be prepared for that super abundance. It's coming.
I believe it.
Amen. It's yours.
I believe it. And I've never wanted it. I mean, I've never wanted it. But I sense that in my spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
I mean, that's what the Lord spoke to me was abundance.
Yes. Absolutely.
No, I believe it.
Hallelujah.
Praise the
Lord. Hallelujah.
There's a tremendous lesson in here for
us. Yes.
Microphone. And we just need to take God at His word, and we need to do what the word says. In everything, give thanks. So I'm fired. Well, praise God. I don't depend on you anyway. I depend on God. See? Instead of getting all upset and flustered and frustrated and confused and everything else and open yourself up for all the forces of hell to take over and just beat you down with whatever, just say praise God.
Amen.
Give thanks. Just give thanks. And God will work things out. The Word of God says what the devil steals from you one way, God will force him to return it seven ways.
Amen.
And it works, folks. That's the reason I'm excited in the Lord.
I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord. In everything that I've got, I'm praising the Lord. I'm praising the Lord.
Ed, I know you're talking to your wife there, but will you come on up here? We're going to... And I'm... Well, it's what you didn't do. Or haven't done. Come on here, let's have a word from you.
Well, I just thank... Oops, Amara. Okay, I just thank God for being here. And I had a little problem with deliverance, you know. I sort of felt that I could handle my demons. And I've been handling them pretty well. But this time I got rid of a few of them, you know. And I thank God for my wife. She's a wonderful person. And Chris there brought us over here, said, you've got to go to this place. And we're going to bring some more people back here, too. And this is the place to be. This is the place to be. Praise God. And I just pray that God will bless these people that run this place and continue to manifest in this place and have abundance of people here. And I know God's going to take care of you, both of them. He's just going to take care of you. By the way, I'd like to say that I'll announce to you now, you know, we do our tithe, and I tithe where I minister to, you know. So you're going to be in our tithe from now on, a little bit. Praise God, because this place has ministered to me. So you'll be hearing from us as you do. And thank you, and God bless all of you.
I just couldn't wait. This is our fifth time of coming down here, and the Lord just fills us and anoints us, gives us fresh anointing each time, and delivers us and heals us and restores us. And Jesus is a mighty God. And if you haven't noticed, I'm pretty timid in this music area. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, bring your guitar down there and bring some music. And I thought, yeah, okay, I'll play it in my room. But he knew better that Linda wasn't going to be able to be here. And when Bill and Glenn thrust me into this, then I had to cast out the spirit of fear after that. But anyway, God did it. And so I just praise the Lord because he knows that it's a growing process. And he doesn't push you. He leads you into where he wants you to go. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord also that there's a people that love you here and there's no judgment or snickering or anything. And I thank you guys for that. And I praise the Lord that he uses us. So that's it.
All to be a servant, a slave unto him. The word servant in the Bible is actually the word slave if you run it out in your concordance. And the Lord's called us all to come to that place to serve him. To serve him with a joyful heart and to rejoice. You know, there's troubles and trials, but he's called us to rejoice. He says, rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. Now, that's kind of hard to do sometimes. Like James, when fired him, went home and told everybody what happened. Something else happens, and you're sick and take you to the hospital, or they tell you you got something you're not going to live. You should say, stand up and declare that Jesus is still Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He's Lord. In the face of all circumstances, we've got to be able, I've got to be able, to stand and say, Jesus is my Lord, and I will praise him. That's, you know, that's the thing that David said all the time. He said, I will praise the Lord. I will, and I declare that I, Glenn Miller, I will praise the Lord. And that's what we've all got to do, because the circumstances of life come and visit all of us, and we've got problems and situations to face. But we've got to stand and make Jesus Lord. Well, Tony's all got everything back there waiting for us. And been so faithful. And he's got everything out that whatever was here, somebody brought or he's put together. He's got it back there. So we'll go back for, it'll take about an hour, 45 minutes or an hour by the time everybody sets and visits and does that. And we'll come back and have another testimony or two, and have some more praise and the word of the Lord, and then we'll have communion and thank the Lord for what he's done for us this year and what he's going to do for us next year.
Thank you, sir.
Father, we thank you for the refreshments that's prepared for us. We bless those that have brought them, and we bless Tony and those that have put them out and made them ready. Father, make them health to us. As we've gathered this in this place and as multitudes other gathered across the nations of the earth, declaring this day that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we join with them, Father, to declare that Jesus is our Lord. Amen.
I was born in a little fishing village of Mayport, Florida. My mother was 40, my dad 50 when I was born. My youngest sister is 14 years older than I am, so I was the baby of the family. The devil thinks he's going to steal my voice, but he ain't going to do it. Hallelujah. As a little infant, I was almost destroyed by boils. That was my first encounter with the forces of hell. And then at about 3 years old, I guess, somewhere along there, I fell off of a dock. And the current there at Mayport, the St. John's River, it flows pretty fast, the rise and fall. And I fell over, from what they tell me, at high tide. So that means that the water from the dock where you walk to down to the water is probably about that far. Well, someone, and I say someone because we don't know to this day who it was. I believe it was an angel that God sent out there at that particular time. And they reached out and snatched me out of that water and took me out and put me over a barrel and began to roll the water out of me. And then immediately my parents were on the scene. This man disappeared. To this day, we don't know who he was. Well, that's number two. Number three, I was in an automobile that ran off a bridge. Turned upside down. The only thing I got out of that was burned my fingers. How I got out the door, I don't know. I don't have any recollection of coming out the door. But the only thing I remember is when the car settled on the bottom of that creek. Then I was on the bottom of the car and touched the exhaust and burned my fingers. And that's the only hurt I got out of that. And then a little bit as time goes by, I'm working on shrimp boats and getting caught in some pretty violent storms. And one time they gave us up, the Coast Guard even gave us up, and they said there's no way that they can make it in against this storm. But we made it in. And another time I was out in the ocean in a little skiff like, I think it was about 20 feet long. And a storm come up real quick like we have them in the summertime there. We call them a thunderstorm. And that thing rolled out of the north and rolled down that ocean. And, I mean, it. By the time it got to the jetties, it was pretty nasty. Well, I tried to give some other people some help that was in another little boat, and they didn't have any power. And consequently, my engine stalled, and we couldn't get it started. Next thing you know, we're in the rocks. And that boat is just torn to pieces in less than 10 minutes, and we got out of that and got up in the rocks. Still didn't even get cut on the oysters. Again, a miracle of God. And the next time, Well, I'm getting up now, and World War II is coming along, and I'm drafted into the Army. I was working for the Corps of Engineers, and they said, don't do anything. Stay where you're at. We need you. Well, the Army thought better. So I get that notice, and I'm sent to Camp Blanding there out of Jacksonville. And I said, I don't want to be in the Army. I'm going to be in anything. I want to be in the Navy. How can I get in the Navy? Well, they're taking volunteers for the Seabees. I said, okay, fine. Tell me where to go. Well, I wound up being in the 10th Special Stevedore Battalion. And sent to England and spent my time there. And got out of that and come back home and went right back to commercial fishing, shrimping. And, oh, I'm just hitting some high spots here. It's quite a story. A little bit later on, I reached the age of 23 and I got married. I married a girl from a very bad background. Her dad was an alcoholic and a whoremonger. Her mother was a very good woman that did her best to take care of the five kids. Well, she's having an awful tough time of it. Somehow or other, somebody told her to go to a fortune teller. And I don't know if this was about the time that my first wife was conceived and was in the womb or not. But anyway, the 23 years that Elizabeth and I were married, I never could figure out what was the matter with this woman. She just was not like other women. Why? Well, after I got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to see the work of the demons, then I could understand. Until that time, I just didn't know what was going on. So the day comes when I said, okay, God, I've had enough of me. I'm tired of being a failure. I'm tired of just being a washout. I'm tired of all the problems and the troubles that I don't know anything about. I know that there's some answers somewhere. And by the grace of God, I'm going to find them. So I just totally surrendered to the Lord. I mean, completely. I sold out. I'd been tired of playing church. So I was trying to go to church and trying to do what was right. It just didn't work out. And when I made that surrender to the Lord, then the demons took control of Elizabeth, and away she went. She didn't want anything more to do with me at all. So time goes by, and I fight and struggle and have people come and talk with her and worry with that situation for 3 years. And then finally she just got a bug in her mind and went down to the court and divorced me. Well, I was working by this time as a toll collector on one of the bridges there in Jacksonville. And the day that I got the divorce papers in the mail, strange thing happened. I went to work that afternoon at 3 o'clock, and just as clear as if any one of you would speak to me as I'm walking out to my lane, I hear God say, "Now I set you free. Trust me. Trust me." God did it. He allowed it to happen. He's the one that pulls the strings. And for 5 years, I just kind of wandered around seeking the Lord and going to every meeting that I could find and every campground that I could find and hear anything about. And about 3 years after I'd made that, got free, the Lord put me with some people down in Tampa, and I went to the Philippines as a missionary for a little 10-day trip to the Philippines. And God had already began immediately when I surrendered to him, he began to draw me in and teach me about spiritual warfare. When I went to the Philippines, the first thing that I encountered was a demon-possessed 15-year-old girl. Well, I'd already made a tape and sent it to the Philippines of a message the Lord gave me, and the pastor over there that I was introduced to by mail shared that with his congregation, and the anointing on that little message on that tape was so strong that people in that particular night listening to that message on healing and deliverance experienced healing and deliverance right there in that little town of Cabadbaran, 900 miles south of Manila. So by the time I got there, they were expecting to hear some more from this vessel. And the second day, this Navy lieutenant comes and says, will you come and minister to my sister? And I said, well, what's the matter with her? She possessed of the devils. She get loose and she go tear up everybody's house. I said, okay. Well, before we could even start, here comes another little motor scooter and another guy. And they too began to talk in this Tagalog dialect. And finally, the both of them take off. And I asked one of the Filipino ministers, I said, what's going on? What's happened? Well, this girl has broken loose from where they had her tied up and secured, they thought. And she is now just tearing up somebody's house, and they've gone to see if they can gain access and control of her again. So by the time we had walked down to the city, they had this girl back up in the loft, the second story loft of this house, this building. And here it's open, and the ceiling joist running across, and there's a big piece of rope hanging down. And when we go up the stairs, they're putting baling wire around the wrist of this girl. And I said, what are you going to do there? Well, that's the only way. We don't want to put her in the jail. That's the only way that we can contain her. They said, then when we get it all around her wrist, real good and tight, then we twist it together, and then we run it into that rope and run it up where she can't reach it. Well, I didn't wait for him to do anything else. I just walked right over to that girl. And when I did, she began to bow. Father! Indoctrinated from, with Catholicism. And boy, the Holy Ghost rose up in me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, shut up. And when I did, she just crumpled right down the floor. Well, my heart just broke for her. She's such a small, petite, beautiful girl. So I just sat right down there on the floor, picked her head up, put it in my lap, and I began to just pray in the Spirit. And I looked into that girl's eyes, and there was no white. Her eyes were black. I mean, hell itself was staring at me. But again, the anointing breaks the yoke. And I looked into those eyes and I said, "You devils of hell, in the name of Jesus, you come out of this girl." And as near as I can remember, that's all I said. I got up and I said to those Filipino ministers, I said, "Y'all come over here, I want to tell you something." So we all went over and walked over to the side. I said, "Now you go and tell everybody in this city that Jesus has set this girl free." I didn't wait for any physical manifestation. I believed the word of God. God said, "Speak to the mountain and it will depart." So they did. I went on back up to where we were staying. And that night, I was the one to minister in the congregation. And I hadn't no more than got started when in comes this Filipino lieutenant with his little sister, hand in hand, walked up to the platform there. It was just a log platform built up about a foot and a half off the ground. And he said, "Brother George, my sister." Well, she's there standing there with her head down, just as shy as could be. I reached down and put my fingers under her chin, lifted her chin up and looked in her eyes, and they were clear. The white was there like it was supposed to be. And the smile came on her face, and I said, "Can you say Jesus is my Lord?" Boy, just as clear as could be, so that everybody could hear it. And I'm holding the microphone. She said, "Jesus is my Lord." And that place just erupted. There's about 600 people there, and they went wild. They knew what had been going on with that little girl. God set her free. Later on, I was to be told the story of how she got in that shape, but I won't go back into that. God is good. And little by little, God has trained and taught me and brought me to the place I am now. Through an awful lot of trials and tests and so on. You must go through the fires in order to be what God wants you to be. To be that gold that's tried in the fire, purified 7 times, so there is nothing left. Nothing left of you. Just Jesus. And the Lord is looking and hoping and waiting patiently for the manifestation of the sons of God. Yes. That includes you women also. In the eyes of God, you're sons. Because when your spirit is impregnated by that invisible Holy Ghost sperm of God, you're transformed and changed. We might look at you and see the female form, the outward appearance. But in the eyes of God, you are sons of God. So just be blessed and grow and grow and grow and grow in the Lord. Desire that sincere milk of the word that you might continue to grow. Hallelujah. And pray for me. I am set the works of darkness. I don't have any other goal. The joy of my life is to teach and minister the word of God and minister deliverance as the Lord leads. I haven't done very much deliverance ministry as such here in the sense of just the casting out. There's been others here to do that. But I've taught the word, and I hope I've taught it in such a way that it can be understood and that you could grasp a hold of it and realize the importance of being free in the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing better. There is nothing better than being a servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Well, this is the last time that you will be asked to participate in being a blessing unto the Lord in the area of giving. So, I'm not going to take the offering. I'm just going to allow you to give. I'm going to share a little chorus with you about giving. And it goes like this. God loves a cheerful giver. Give him all you've got. He loves to hear you laughing when you're in an awkward spot. When the odds are up against you, it's time to shout and sing. Praise God, to praise Him is a joyous thing. Amen. Let me tell you, folks, you can't outgive God. It's impossible. Joel, if you will, and whoever else over here, Bruce, you want to help him? And
let's thank the Lord for what he's done for us this year here at the campground. And Father, I come with thanksgiving, thanking you for taking care of us and watching over us and supplying the needs of the campground. I thank you for it, Father. It's a miracle that you perform for us here each month, Father, in supplying the needs to meet the bills of this place and to meet that which is needed for the finances of those who come here to minister, Lord. Father, for they're also worthy of their hire. And we bless them. We thank you for it. We bless those, Father, who make it possible for us to pay the bills and the expenses of this place and to take care of those who come to minister and the missionaries that we support, Father, in other parts of the world. We thank you for supplying. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for health and strength for us. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom. Father, wisdom. Most of all, Father, Solomon asked for wisdom. Father, I ask for wisdom. Wisdom, Lord, that we shall do that which is that which you'd have us to do. I thank you for it. Now, Father, I come and these finances this evening represents the finances of this campground and of this year. Father, I bring him as a priest unto Jesus, who is our high priest. And I present to him the finances again, Father, of this past year and this evening. And I thank you, Jesus, for receiving from these thy people and from my hand, Father, is to present unto our Father as a sweet savor upon the altar before the throne. Father, receive this from these thy people. Father, I thank you for the privilege you've given us to be the steward over the finances here. Help us to be a just steward, Lord. Give us wisdom and guidance and direction, Father. And we thank you for helping us, Father. And I give you praise for it. Now, Father, take authority over these finances and those of the past year. And I bind them again and include these here tonight. And I bind the finances that's been given into our hands that shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life. than the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the kingdom as long as this type of finances is used. And they shall multiply many, many, and many times over for the kingdom's sake. That the knowledge of salvation and deliverance, of healing and restoration shall come to many, many people because of the finances that come through this place. And Father, I thank you for your blessing and your anointing upon thy people. We bless them, Lord. We bless those who've never been here, who supply finances to this place monthly, even some weekly, Lord. We pray your blessing and your anointing upon them. Father, make it possible for them to visit here sometime to a camp meeting. We thank you. But Father, we bless them and we thank you for them. We pray your anointing and your blessing upon them and upon those, Lord, who've come and who help us with the finances here, this camp meeting and other camp meetings. We bless them, Lord. And Father, we ask that Abraham's blessing shall be theirs. You shall multiply unto them and meet their needs, that they in turn, Father, may be blessed to meet the needs of your people who minister the word of the Lord, not only here, but in all the places of the earth. Father, where the name of Jesus is named, where finances is needed, Father. And there are those, Father, who are in need on the foreign field and think that they're forgotten. And Father, we lift them before you tonight. Supply somehow, Father, we know that you will, their needs as well. And we give you praise. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise your Lord Jesus. Everybody has something that they can praise the Lord for. So we bless all of you. It's been wonderful having you. Hope to see you again sometime before too long. Okay. Next time won't be until the end of March. Passover. Then we quickly have Memorial and 4th of July. And then it's almost Labor Day. And the year's half gone and starting down the other side already. But what the Lord's going to bring next year will be more than we can comprehend at this time, I believe. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to have some word, some more song, and communion, and praise the Lord. Amen. Phil going to sing for us before? He's going to sing right now.
I've been sitting here enjoying these testimonies, and I was asked to sing this song, but I was glad because I love this song. And I was looking, and I know, and the song really speaks for itself, and I didn't have anything particular I wanted to say except that I looked at the author of it, and it brought back memories and caused me to think about something that I wanted to share a little bit about the camp here and how much it has blessed me. I was tormented by demons from the earliest memories that I have. I never remember a time in my life when I wasn't. My earliest memories are ones of great torment and distress. My whole childhood, as far as I remember, was dreadfully unhappy and miserable. I hardly remember a happy day. And yet my life wasn't bad in terms of outward circumstances, except for a few incidents, which I think were the open doors that allowed this to all happen. And for many years, I wondered. In fact, I accused God as I grew older because I felt that was grossly unfair. Because it was one of these kind of deals where God, from the earliest memories, also put a great desire in my heart to know. But I was at the same time tormented, so it was like I was just being pulled apart all the time. And I was in great distress. And my constant prayer was, I remember even as a little boy, I used to lie in bed at night and just cry out, God, help me, because I did not know what to do. And all of that was the story of my life. All through my growing up, it was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help myself. I don't know where to go. If I only knew where to go to get help, I'd go. And back when I met Ruthie the first time, I was the Lord used that drive to go find help to bring me into new truth and new light, which was a blessing. In fact, I met Ruthie at the time that I was first introduced to what we call full gospel, charismatic type church. I'd been growing up in that, and I was just bubbling over and so excited. And I remember we sat down at the college we were going, and I was telling her all about it, and boy, I thought, boy, this is going to do it. Well, it didn't. In fact, I couldn't receive the baptism, and so I didn't receive it for 14 years from the first time that I was prayed for. That was how bad the bondage was. And And so every time I would be let down, and then the devil would come in and say, well, you know, you're just a hopeless case. You know, you're never going to get free. You know, you're going to, you know, all this negative, negative, negative. And just lying, 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 of course. But at the same time, then I'd go back, Lord, please, please help me. And then this happened, you know, I struggled through life. I don't know how I got through. Everything was a struggle and everything was, if Ruthie will remember the early days she knew me, I was in a terrible dark depression those days. But we got along somehow. And I remember the reason why I'm telling this is because the first time I was introduced to deliverance was back in the early 70s. I met him. I don't know if Brother Glenn ever met this man. I doubt it, but he might have, because he was associated with a Full Gospel businessman when Derek Prince was doing a lot of deliverance. Back, I guess there was a certain period of his ministry when he did that. And he had gotten under some deliverance teaching, and it was my first exposure to it. And he came to our college, and of course nobody at our college was interested in hearing him. But of course I always had my ears open to anything, 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 anywhere I could get help. Oh, boy, this sounds fantastic. You know, this might be some help. And he did pray over us, but again, I didn't realize, and of course I didn't understand the depth of the struggle that I had, and I thought it was going to be some magic formula, you know, like a lot of us do when we first come into it. And of course it didn't do everything that I thought it should, so I got discouraged again, and we sort of parted ways, and that was the end of that. But during that time, this is a significant thing. See, we had had very little association with Full Gospel, even though I had gone to this one church. I had never gone. I think Ruthie and I went to one regional convention in Philadelphia, but this man had been associated. So he invited me to go to World Convention, just shows how the Lord works, in Denver, Colorado in 1971. And I'm almost positive that I met Irma then, because I'm sure she was at the book table. But I wouldn't, of course, remembered. I don't remember her as far as that goes. But 10 years later, and this is the thing that's so beautiful. Oh, when I was there, what I wanted to say is I heard Andre Crouch. It's the only time I ever heard him in person. And that's, I'm going to sing one of his songs. And that's what brought back the memories, because he was there at that convention. And he probably played this and sang this song. And, you know, I never had any association, never heard of him before. Didn't know any of this music. It was all new to me. I mean, all this worship in the spirit. Boy, it was like, what's going on around here, you know? And and I remember I wasn't used to the style of music and all of this, and it was like, this is different. I guess if any of you come out of traditional churches, you know the feeling. But it was a much more significant event than, because 10 years later, around 1980, 81, I had reached such a point in my life, I said, God, something's got to give. I've got to get answers, and I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And my daily prayer almost was every day, Lord, I need help, but I don't know where to go or what to do. And I got this crazy paper in the mail. And I said, where did this thing come from? And I remember the article that was in it was about owls. If you've ever heard Irma's testimony about the owls, it's very, very interesting. But to me, it was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And I thought, these people must be weird. And I thought, man alive, what is this about owls and people casting out demons? Of course, I'd heard about the casting out demons part, but all this about owls sort of. But then I got another issue a few months later, and it was talking about when they first got into helping people being delivered from incest. And I thought, man, they must really get down to the nitty-gritty out there. So maybe they have something for me, and that's how I came out. But at that time, I had no idea how I would have ever gotten on their mailing list. As far as I was concerned, it was a miracle of God. And it was a long time till I, talking to Glenn one day, that I realized that the only way he could have ever gotten my name was at that Full Gospel Business Convention, the only one I ever went to. It was 10 years prior to when I came out here. So the Lord is faithful, in spite of all the negative that the devil has put in my mind all these years. And the blood will never lose its power, regardless of what the devil tells you. So just don't listen.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears. And it dries all my tears, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never its power. Oh, it will never lose its power.
Everybody got your Bible? Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's just beginning at verse 23. Paul is talking, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, I want to stop right there. And I want to ask you to search your heart. We've been through enough this week. There shouldn't be any unforgiveness left. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit right now to just bring to your mind anybody, living or dead, that you would have the slightest grievance of unforgiveness against. And settle that issue once and for all. Forgive that person. Forgive. So that God can forgive you. Get that thing settled once and for all. And I remind you again, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That person was not the problem. That person was, like all of us, a victim of the powers of darkness. So just settle it once and for all. And then when you take this bread and this wine tonight, grape juice, whatever it might be, could be just plain water. It's symbolic of the blood of Jesus. But when you eat that bread, let it remind you of the bread, the Word. This is the body of Jesus. We eat a little bit of bread in symbolism, in remembrance. When you drink that cup, the life is in the blood. And let it remind you of the blessedness of the plan of God to baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus is the baptizer. Someone else can baptize you in water, which is symbolical of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. But only Jesus can baptize you in the Holy Ghost. So just let the elements just remind you of the true bread from heaven, which is the Word. And the true blood of Jesus in that mysterious way that's given to us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, as we partake of the elements of this, your body, Lord, just quicken us by your Spirit, O God, and cause us to realize just how blessed we are. Thank you, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here amongst us right now. As we end this past year that's gone by so fast, and as we begin a new year according to our calendar, again, God, help us to realize that with you there is no new year. You are eternal. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, we honor your presence here with us right now. As we have all of these past days, we also honor the truth of your word that says that you'd never leave us or forsake us, that you're right here with us at all times. And again, Lord God, just help us, O God, in the coming days, just to realize how blessed we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.